the word of knowledge, let's look over in the New Testament, just a few places where it also operates. In Jesus' life, it seems that Jesus knew a lot of things by his human spirit without even the Holy Spirit working. His human spirit picks up things. It's very common when you read, especially in the Gospel of Luke, it says, and he knew their thoughts. And he knew their thoughts. Jesus is not a mind reader, but he can pick up thoughts that people surround themselves with. And here's an example in Luke chapter 22. And he apparently knew some things, but he doesn't say all of it out. And that's another important principle when we look at the word of knowledge. We found that it can come by God just speaking to you and telling you everything. It can come part by part. And then the interesting thing is that not everything can be revealed or can be shared. It's revealed by God, but you can't say it. There's a time and a place to say it. And that's where the skill of operating the word of knowledge is. If God operates a word of knowledge through your life and he reveals what somebody else has done that is wrong in their life, that needs correction, don't ever do it publicly and shame the person. If really your gift is to help the person, you should go aside and then don't presume that you are absolutely infallible. You could be wrong. And just pass it on to the person and say, would you pray about that? Whether it means anything to you. And let God do the conviction. We do not convict of sin. The Holy Spirit does. Our job is a ministry of reconciliation to God. And I have seen people operate wrongly the word of knowledge, and they publicly, you know, reveal people's sin and all that. And we have done crusades and healing ministries and all these things. Sometimes God revealed things, sometimes even of the pastors that we go and minister to. But I don't reveal the pastor's sin in front of his congregation. I would privately go and try to encourage the pastor and say, look, I think you have this problem that you need to pray through in your life, and let me pray with you. And so it's important that this is a very powerful gift, and that how we operate it is essential to the gift bringing benefit to the body of Christ. Every gift must edify. So never reveal everything, especially things that have sin involved or people falling away from God. That should be dealt privately, one-to-one. And I know sometimes people are out of control, and when they are prophesying and the gift operates, they just reveal every detail. Now, some things, you know, you need to just write it down and give it separately from the rest of the prophecy. And this is discretion in the body of Christ. Now, here is Jesus in Luke chapter 22. He was talking about how all his disciples will fall away. And he says in verse 31 to Peter, he says, Simon, Simon, indeed Satan has asked for you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you, that your faith should not fail. And when you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren. But he said to him, Lord, I am ready to go to you, both to prison and to death. That's Peter. You know, he doesn't know himself. And Jesus says, I tell you, Peter, the rooster will not crow this day before you will deny three times that you know me. And that is at the same time a word of wisdom, because it's something that has not happened yet. And also, at the same time, a word of knowledge, because he knew what was happening in Peter's life at that very time that he's going through. And in the Gospel of John, Jesus' function in this word of knowledge in John chapter 1, when Andrew first brought Peter to see Jesus. And from the way it's written, it looks like a function of the word of knowledge in John chapter 1 verse 42. And he brought him to Jesus. Now when Jesus looked at him, he said, you are Simon, the son of Jonah. They have not been introduced yet. The moment he saw him, he knew his name. There have been a few times when actually in operating in the meeting, I've called people by their name. And you learn to zoom in accurately, etc. I remember there was one even on video. It was in Singapore. It was the first seminar that we ever held, and we were teaching about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. So there was about 1,000 people there. We were in the DBS auditorium, one of the bank auditoriums. And there was a lady seated way up on the right side, I remember. And part by part was operating. And the Lord revealed to me of a particular sickness that this lady was having. So I told the color of the clothes the lady was wearing. And I told the kind of sickness that she has. After telling two areas of the word of knowledge, nobody responded. And usually when nobody responded and you're flowing with God, God gets even more specific. And so when nobody responded, and so I prayed, I said, Lord, how do I help? And then the Lord revealed, this lady's name is called Mary. And then the lady on the right side screamed. And of all things, nobody around knew her name was Mary, because that was her other name. But it was one of her real names, Mary. So she came down crying, and she knew that it was her. And so this part-by-part process can operate, but you've got to step out just like Samuel stepped out. Operating in any gifts of the Spirit, you must operate humbly. You're willing to be corrected, and you're willing to flow and let the Spirit lead you. You're willing to make mistakes along the way, and you get sharper and sharper as you learn to operate the gift. The gift is always perfect, but the operator is not. Because remember, every gift filters through our human spirit and it comes out through your soul before it's expressed out. So the receiver of the gift is not perfect, and we may not be bringing it forth perfectly. Just like Samuel himself at first thought that Eliab was to be the anointed one. Because while we are operating the gift, the mind is still functional. And the mind can actually be analyzing yourself. And you've got to differentiate when is your mind, when is not. Which we're going to look at why in the Bible you need to do that. Now, just one more area of operation in the word knowledge in Jesus' life. There are many, but we have picked a few incidents. In verse 43 onwards. And Jesus wanted to go to Galilee. He found Philip and he said to him, follow me. Philip found Nathanael and brought Nathanael to Jesus. And Nathanael, when he heard about Jesus, say, what good thing can come out of Nazareth, in verse 46. And verse 47, when Jesus saw Nathanael coming down toward him and said of him, behold, an Israelite indeed in whom there is no guile. He immediately revealed a word of knowledge of the character of Nathanael. And Nathanael said in verse 48, how do you know me? You haven't even met me. How do you know me? And Jesus reveals something else. Jesus says, before Philip called you, while you were under the fig tree, I saw you. So the word of knowledge operated through his eyes in a vision. And he saw Nathanael. We do not know what happened when Nathanael was under the fig tree. Maybe Nathanael was really seeking after God and crying out to God. And he must be surprised. No one would know it except God himself. And here is Jesus, who he met for the first time, who revealed what his nature was like, and revealed what happened in the fig tree before Philip came to him. And Nathanael cried out and says, you are the Son of God. And then Jesus said, a promise to him, a blessing. Jesus said, if you believe this, you will see more things. And that's a powerful word of knowledge. And we all know John chapter 5, you know, the woman and the well. Jesus knew it all the time, but he never condemned him. In fact, sometimes the way he brought forth the word of knowledge was almost like an addendum. Oh, by the way, you have five husbands, and the one you're living is not, you know, your husband. Yeah, just as an addendum. He knew it all the time, but not one time did he condemn her. Why does God do that? See, the word of knowledge is not a gift that God revealed to condemn people. I want to emphasize. It's for you to be able to sometimes understand people and intercede for them. And the word of knowledge part only came towards the ending in John chapter 5 of his conversation with a woman at a well. That's in Gospel of John chapter 4. That's right. John chapter 4. And when he came to her, he just asked for a drink, and then it surprised her because nobody asked for a drink. And of all things, he's a Jew, they are Samaritans, and they have nothing to do with each other. And then when she talked about spiritual things, he says, "Our Father," in verse 20, "worship on this mountain, you Jews in the temple." Jesus says, "The hour is coming when you will worship God in spirit and in truth everywhere." And then when the woman says, "Who is this Messiah?" Jesus says in verse 26, "I am He." And so all these things are powerful things. Now, Jesus brought it up in a very nice way. When he asked for a drink, she says here in verse 15, "Sir, give me this water that I may not thirst." And Jesus says, "Go and call your husband." Now, he knew everything, but he just wanted her to do it. And then she says in verse 17, "I have no husband." The moment she says something that he knew was not true, he says, "You have a father, the one you're with is not even your legal husband." And she must be shocked by the word of knowledge. But Jesus brought it out in such a sweet, gentle way, there was not an iota or an atom of condemnation. And he still conversed with her after that. And she was so blessed, so changed, she became an evangelist in the city. She told the whole city about Jesus, the Messiah. Powerful. A word of knowledge is powerful. Now notice that there is a difference between the gift of the Spirit working in a word of knowledge and your human spirit picking up. Let's look at Colossians chapter 2 for a moment. Paul talks about the extent of what his spirit man can pick up. In Colossians chapter 2, we have here in verse 5, Paul says, "For though I am absent in the flesh, yet I am with you in spirit, rejoicing to see your good order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ." Now he is making a statement here that his spirit can sometimes know things. And he says he can see what their order is like, what their church there is like, even without being there. He knew everything about the church that was going on. You notice he says that he behold with his spirit. Now, compare that with 2 Kings, when Elisha told Gehazi, you remember the story of Gehazi, who after Naaman was healed of leprosy, Gehazi, who was a servant of Elisha, was a bit greedy in 2 Kings chapter 5. And he went and asked for things from Naaman, because Elisha did not ask for any payment at all. And the story we found is in 2 Kings chapter 5. Verse 21, Gehazi pursued Naaman and asked for a lot of things. In verse 22, a talent of silver, two changes of garments. And then he sneaked back and hide all those things and sneaked back to Elisha, pretending nothing had happened. He says, how can he do that? Why does he do it? Apparently, the word of knowledge doesn't operate all the time. There is no human being, no matter how close they walk with God, can say they know everything all the time. The only person I know that is God Almighty. Gehazi knew that Elisha was a prophet, a very powerful prophet. He also knew that Elisha doesn't know everything that goes on all the time. Sometimes he knew, sometimes he doesn't know. He hoped that this is one of the times he doesn't know. And this is one of the times he knew. And then when he came back, Elisha says, "Gehazi, where did you go?" "Oh, I just went somewhere. And then, this is an interesting phrase that Elisha says in verse 26. 2 Kings chapter 5, 26. Did not my heart go with you when the man turned back from his chariot to meet you? Is it time to receive money, to receive clothing, olive groves, vineyards, sheep, oxen, male and female servants? Oh, the judgment was terrible there. Yeah. Leprosy of Naaman came upon him. And we note here that his heart go with him, he says. Did not my heart. If you check some of your translation, it translates, did not my spirit go with you. The Hebrew word is the word heart. But that is close to Colossians 2:4, where Paul says, I behold your order. Now, doesn't that tell you something here, or the operation, if you can put as number 4, that it operates through the human spirit, or the human heart. And I found that a lot of the operation, all especially the word of knowledge, depends on the development of the human spirit and the human heart. As we illustrate just now, we have to be clear before God for us to receive the river of knowledge. Remember, God doesn't, and God is not obligated to reveal everything to you. And your conscious mind will be fully functional, like in Samuel's time. While you're receiving the knowledge of God, it will be like two streams of knowledge coming to you. One your own, and the other from God, when you're operating in the word of knowledge. How do you differentiate it? Here's where maturity comes. In the book of 1 Corinthians, look at how Paul differentiates between these two things. I perceive, which is the spirit man picking up, I, and the Holy Spirit said. And we need to differentiate between the two. Because the word of knowledge is what the Holy Spirit said. I perceive is what your human spirit pick up. And in 1 Corinthians, Paul had many things that he was writing to the Corinthians. And they asked him many questions about spiritual matters and all that. And Paul gave what he believed was the correct advice. But as he gave the advice in what to do, he differentiated between what his spirit man sensed was the right thing to do and what the Holy Spirit's command is. And I'll give an example in 1 Corinthians and chapter 7. 1 Corinthians chapter 7. And as he wrote this epistle, Paul says here in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, the verse that we're looking at is verse 10. 10 to 12. 1 Corinthians 7 verse 10 to 12. This is a question of marriage, etc. and separation. In verse 10, now to the married, I command, yet not I, but the Lord. A wife is not to depart from her husband. Now, verse 10, what is Paul saying? That it is thus says the Lord, correct? He says, I command it, but it's not just I, but it's also thus says the Lord. Then look at verse 12. To the rest, not the Lord say, I, not the Lord say, if any brother has a wife who does not believe, and she is willing to live with him, let him not divorce her. In verse 12. Verse 12, he's saying, I am saying this, I am thinking this is the best option, but there's no thus says the Lord here. Can you see the difference between verse 10 and verse 12? Now, here is where spiritual maturity is when we pick up knowledge. We have to differentiate between what we perceive, which can be accurate, can be true, can be applicable in that situation because it's the best pickup at that time. Knowledge is still growing in the area. But you cannot say, thus says the Lord. Now, in the gifts of the Spirit, when it operates, you can say, thus says the Lord. And in our little practice session where we allow you to pray over one another and you pick up some things here, and some of you pick up a picture of a flower, sunflower, and some of you pick up different things here. These are things that your human spirit has picked up. You can deliver it as, I saw this, I saw that, I pick up this, I pick up that. But you must allow the individual to interpret it for themselves, what it means. Because there is no thus says the Lord there. See the difference? So never confuse between I perceive and thus says the Lord. It's a separation between human spirit and the Holy Spirit. And in our training in operating in the word of knowledge, this is the most important key here. Because our human spirit is highly perceptive. As you all know, that in the natural world, if all your five senses are very well trained, you can pick up things that normal people can't pick up. Think about a blind person whose touch is so refined that they could read with their fingers. Right? Most of us try it and it doesn't work. Especially if your eyes are operating, it depends on your eyes all the time. Now, those who depend on touch, they could differentiate little things. And they could even differentiate with their skin, whether it's day or night, by the heat that they feel. And then the ears, some musicians' ears are so well developed that they could differentiate and hear it. And in fact, if you develop ears, when you're close to a wall, you can actually hear the difference in sound because of the echo. Then in an open space. These are little perceptions that a person can train with the five senses. Obviously, if your five senses is highly trained, then you pick up more things than a normal person. And then in the soul area, if your soul is well trained, which involves your intellect, your will and everything, obviously, your expression and your ability to grasp is better than someone who is not well trained at all. And then, how much more when your human spirit is well trained? You can pick up a lot of things too. That a person's human spirit who is not well trained can't pick up, because they'll say, let's say, well, they are praying and they see this red rose. What is this red rose doing? Come on, get out of my mind. What is this garden? I don't want to do gardening. I'm praying about this fantastic warfare going on. Right? And we treat a lot of those things as distraction. Remember the words again. Every thought has a cause and an effect. And then you remove all your internal causes, you can differentiate clearly. And then when you begin to differentiate between what your human spirit says and your Holy Spirit says, how do I differentiate? Well, first of all, your human spirit doesn't have that kind of authority that the Holy Spirit has. There's a difference in authority. And there is a difference in anointing. The anointing level is higher. There's a very strong, powerful presence of God from the normal, general presence of God. And there is also what I call, the anointing can be called the unction. And there is also what I call a powerful revelation involved. Now, how do I express that? See, remember how this revelation comes in this manner. You didn't sort of grow it. You don't sort of gather information. You didn't sort of pick it up, but it just drops into you, just like that. But by opening yourself in your human spirit here, you are what I call placing yourself in the best position for the Holy Spirit to work. As we all know, the Holy Spirit is like a dove. And for a dove to land on a branch, the branch must not be shaky. It must be peaceful. And then the birds would like to land on it and rest on it. So the Holy Spirit, like a dove, likes to operate through our life. But when our life is peaceful, our human spirit is in harmony with God, Holy Spirit can just flow through. And there's a way in which you tune yourself to hear Him. An example is when you sing. You always, when you are trained in a choir and you're trained to sing, you're trained to sing from your diaphragm. And that is the natural way to sing, and you can go along without your voice getting hoarse. And so there's a method. And once you learn the method, then when you actually sing, it can become a second nature to you to sing the right way. And the same way, when your human spirit is trained to perceive these things, you're actually putting yourself in a position for the Holy Spirit to reveal things into your life. that God wants to reveal. In the same manner as some of you are picking things up in this area from about, you know, Virginia's life, about these roses that you're sensing and all these things you're picking. And as you open your spirit up to God and allow Him to flow in your life, that God can reveal things in the past, He reveal things in the present, He can move forward to the future in all that God wants to do in His life. And at the moment, what I'm picking up from Virginia's life is, I see yourself wear a golden dress, receiving a scepter from the Lord. And these are things that my spirit is seeing, perceiving, picking up. And like you're all dressed almost like a queen in God. And then here is the something else that I don't pick up with what I see, but pick up with a word that I hear. And the Lord whispers is authority. And you have desire for authority, authority over demon powers, authority in the spirit realm, authority in your prayers, and God will bring forth an authority in your life that you're going to speak and pray over nations, you're going to pray over people, and as you obey God, that gift in the spirit in your life is going to be so strong that you will be able to speak forth a word even right in your living room unto nations, and your prayers will have a great effect. Yes, the Lord says, and this is what the Lord is saying now, different from the human spirit that we were picking out earlier, and the Lord is saying that you have a gift of God in intercession, and He has called you and set you apart even as a virgin unto Him, that He may crown you with authority that He has, that He has given in Psalms chapter 2, that you'll be able to call forth the nations, and you will be able to call forth the people of God, and through your prayers you will do much great things in the kingdom of God and great damage to the kingdom of the enemy. Amen. So there is a difference, as you notice, flowing from the human spirit into the Holy Spirit. And that was a prophecy that came forth as we flow in the area. And I hope that as we understand how this word of knowledge operate, that you find that the gifts of the spirit are easier to flow than we realize. Once we know how it operate, let's give thanks to God.